I want to share with you a short article by Matt Slick titled Pelagianism. Now, folks, ministries like CARM exist to edify and equip the body of Christ. CARM is truly an online missionary organization in that they are doing mission work online as they are equipping saints, equipping the church around the world in different languages on how to biblically share the gospel, on how to understand and communicate with people who are involved in other religions and cults. And the website is probably the finest theological, apologetic website in the planet for many reasons. But if this was the only one, just the sheer volume of the material they have, Matt Slick, up until a few years ago, was a one-man army until Ken Cook and others came on board. CARMS existed for 17 years. Matt Slick writing most of the CARM material himself, creating the MOAN, M-O-A-N, the mother of all apologetic notebooks. I have one. And, you know, if I ever go blind and I can't read it anymore, it would certainly make a deadly weapon defending my home if I ever threw it at somebody. So CARM, CARM.org. Go to that website often. And in helping me prepare for tonight, I found this article on Pelagianism by Matt Slick, and I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to read it. And you will see shortly as we talk about Bethel Church in Reading, an apostate church that has a great deal of influence among other apostate churches and sadly having influence in Christian churches as well. You're going to see the tie between Pelagianism and Bethel Church in a moment, but let me read this article to you. And again, this is by Matt Slick. Pelagianism derives its name from Pelagius, who lived in the 5th century AD and was a teacher in Rome, though he was British by birth. Pelagianism is a heresy dealing with the nature of man. Pelagius, whose family name was Morgan, taught that people had the ability to fulfill the commands of God by exercising the freedom of human will apart from the grace of God. In other words, a person's free will is totally capable of choosing God and or to do good or bad without the aid of divine intervention. Pelagianism teaches that man's nature is basically good. Thus, it denies original sin, the doctrine that we have inherited a sinful nature from Adam. He said, Pelagius said, that Adam only hurt himself when he fell, as if he was a boy who tripped and skinned his knee. I mean, this is actually what Pelagius taught. He said that Adam only hurt himself when he fell, and all of his descendants were not affected by Adam's sin. Pelagius taught that a person is born with the same purity and moral abilities as Adam was when he was first made by God. He taught that people can choose God by the exercise of their free will and rational thought. God's grace then is merely an aid to help individuals come to him. Pelagianism fails to understand man's nature and weakness. We are by nature sinners, Ephesians 2:3, Psalm 51:5. We all have sinned because sin entered the world through Adam. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned, Romans 5:12. Furthermore, Romans 3:10-12 says, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is no one who does good. There is not even one. Therefore, we are unable to do God's will, Romans 6:16, Romans 7:14. We were affected by the fall of Adam, contrary to what Pelagius taught. Now, Pelagianism and Pelagius were condemned as heresy, and he was condemned as a heretic by many councils throughout church history, including the following, the councils of Carthage, 412, 416, 418, the Council of Ephesus, 431, the Council of Orange, 529, Council of Trent, 1546, which was a Roman Catholic council, the Second Helvetic Council, 1561 and 66. That was a Swiss-German Reformed Council. The Augsburg Confession, 1530, Article 9 and Article 18, which is Lutheran. The Gallican Confession, 1559, Article 10, which was a French Reformed Confession. The Belgic Confession of 1561, Article 15, which was a Lowlands French, Dutch, German Reformed Confession. The Anglican Articles in 1571, Article 9, which, of course, is the English Confession, and the Canons of Dort, 1618 to 1619, Articles 3 and 4, which was the Dutch, German, French Reformed Council. So throughout history, throughout Christendom, throughout Christian history, Pelagius has been deemed a heretic. Pelagianism has been deemed a heresy. But you know where this heresy is rising its ugly head? Open-air preaching. Yes, there are some Pelagians. I won't mention them by name because I don't want to give them any time. I don't want you visiting their sites. I don't want you being corrupted in any way by their false teaching. There are actually open-air preachers out there who are full-on Pelagians, who believe that they have attained a level of sinless perfectionism. They also deny things like the imputed righteousness of Christ and the penal substitutionary and vicarious atonement of Jesus Christ. Pelagians are not saved. Pelagians believe a different gospel. They believe the wrong things about man, and they believe in a different Jesus and a different gospel. They are not saved. Why is this all important, you may ask? I am so glad you've asked. Well, Bethel Church in Redding, California, a hotbed of signs and wonders, apostasy and blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, is also a harbinger of false heretical teaching. Eric Johnson, the son of Bill Johnson, the leader of this apostate church, had this to say in one of his sermons. Now, I'm going to play it for you. It's about a minute and 25 seconds, and then I'm going to read you the text. Our transcriber, par excellence, Eliezer Salazar, who transcribed all but one of the pastor interviews for Should She Preach, Kanji Christian, also helped in that. He translated, or transcribed rather, one of the interviews. I sent this audio to Rich and said, hey, get a hold of Eliezer and see if he could transcribe this for me. And, you know, within an hour, I've got the word-for-word transcription of this audio. So here is Eric Johnson teaching Pelagianism at Bethel Church.
You know, one of the challenges I have, and to be honest with you, I'm processing a little bit with you. I have conviction that I'm just finding words to articulate. I struggle with the idea that before the cross, sometimes we have this image or this picture of God that before the cross, he hated people. He was just mad at them. But after the cross, okay, now he's happy. That's what's taught. Oh, now he's in a good mood. He was in a bad mood, but now he's in a good mood. And we've got this delineation that the cross was, and the resurrection was the moment that, okay, now God's happy. He can relax and take a deep breath. No, God has always been happy. You're not born evil. It's amazing how many teachings in theology start with that thought. Anytime you start with that, you will create a controlling, manipulating environment. Okay. Oh, we're going to have fun this morning. Every government, every structure, every system, fundamentally and theologically, must start with the concept and the idea that people are good and they mean to do good. Even if they're not saved. It has to start from that premise. We have to adjust our perspective of people. We have to realize people are good and they mean to do good.
All right. That was Eric Johnson, Pelagian heretic, rank heresy. Let me read to you what this young man said. just in case you had a hard time hearing it, I want to make sure you get every word. This is a verbatim transcription of what Eric Pelagian Johnson had to say. You know, one of the challenges I have, and to be honest with you, I'm processing a little bit with you, I have conviction that I'm just finding words to articulate. I struggle with the idea that before the cross, sometimes we have this image or this picture of God, that before the cross he hated people. He was just mad at them. But after the cross, okay, now he's happy. That's what's taught. Oh, now he's in a good mood. He was in a bad mood, but now he's in a good mood. And we've got this delineation that the cross was and the resurrection was the moment where, okay, now God's happy. He can relax and take a deep breath. What utter blasphemy. I just have to pause there. I'm getting sick reading this. What utter blasphemy. How dare anybody talk about God this way? Continuing. Quote, no, God has always been happy. A lie. A lie. I mean, obviously, all you have to do is open the Bible. And not just the Old Testament, as unbelievers and false teachers would have you believe. God does not change. God is immutable. He is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is love and God is filled with wrath. God is gracious and God is just. God is merciful and God is judge. He has not changed. Jesus, fully God and fully man, expressed all of the character of God. We see Jesus' love. We see his wrath and anger against sin. We see him as both Savior and Judge in the very words that he said. What utter blasphemy. All right, continuing. Eric Johnson goes on to say, quote, you're not born evil. It's amazing how many teachings in theology struggle with that thought. Anytime you start with that, you will create a controlling, manipulating environment. Okay, we're going to have fun this morning. Pause. What a knucklehead. Continuing, quote, every government, every structure, every system, fundamentally and theologically, must start with the concept and the idea that people are good and they mean to do good. And then he emphasizes, he says this with emphasis, even if they're not saved. He goes on, you have to start from that premise. We have to adjust our perspective of people. We have to realize that people are good and they mean to do good. All right. All of the signs and wonders shenanigans, the gold dust, the filling of teeth with gold fillings, the glory clouds, the fire tunnels, the shishkaboomba speaking in tongues with no interpretation, the mock healings, the unevangelistic youth that are running around Redding, California, and other places, walking up to people and saying, hey, you want to be healed? And then they convince the person that they're healed, and then, lo and behold, the person wants to know Jesus. No gospel shared, no call to repentance and faith, nothing about the cross. Hey, you want to be healed? Let us make your leg longer. That's one of their favorite tricks. Oh, they actually think it's a move of the Holy Spirit to get a penny to stick to a wall. Newsflash, that's called friction and paint. But yet they say, believing the Bible and what it teaches about original sin and the nature of man, that's manipulative. No, what's manipulative is telling people they're good. You don't need Jesus. Maria's trying to get me to calm down. I love you, sweetheart. I'm being what? Oh, Maria says I'm being loud. All right, so I'll quiet down a little bit. I can't. I'm sorry. I'll quiet down a little bit. She's saying we have neighbors. We live in a condo. So, and now I'm not going to mock Eric Johnson. All right, this is not mocking him, but I think it makes a point. I think we all could hear that Eric Johnson has a bit of a speech impediment. Okay, that doesn't make him stupid. That doesn't make him less of a man. That doesn't make him less of a human being. That doesn't mean he's being punished by God. But I think we could hear, it's hard to tell, but I think we could hear a bit of a speech impediment if you listen to him. Yet in this church, where all of these signs, alleged signs and wonders or healings are taking place, the pastor's son, the co-pastor, one of the teachers, has a speech impediment. Look, my friends, if all of these healings were going on, why is every hospital around the church filled with patients? Why? Why are there mentally ill, physically handicapped, physically sick, homeless people on the streets of Reading today? Why? Why is that? If these people truly had the gift of healing and were able to heal people with a word or with a laying on of hands, whether it's Bill Johnson or Benny Hinn or Todd Bentley or Ken and Gloria Copeland or Shay Ahn or any of these other heretics, false teachers, snake oil salesmen, why? Why are all the hospitals filled today? Why do people have to pay $30, $40, $50 at times to get into one of these arenas for one of these nights of healing and spiritual experience? Why is that? All right, so setting all of that aside. Now, don't get me wrong. I certainly don't want to be an offense to any of my charismatic friends. The people I am talking about are not people who simply believe that all of the spiritual gifts are active today in the body of Christ. All right, John Piper believes that. One of the greatest preachers of the 20th century, Martin Lloyd-Jones, believed that. Other very godly men, teachers of the Word of God, believe that the gifts are active today. I am not talking to my charismatic, born-again brethren. I am talking about liars. I am talking about thieves. I am talking about scoundrels. I am talking about false prophets. I am talking about false teachers. And Bill and Eric Johnson are at the top of the list. But friends, even beyond that, What Eric Johnson said during this sermon is reason enough to say that this church, the leadership in this church, and likely most of the people in the church, do not know Jesus Christ. He is Pelagian. Eric Johnson is a Pelagian. He is a heretic. He is a false teacher, and he is leading people astray. And so we're going to be talking more about Bethel Church. It's time. And for those of you who are saying, Tony, we shouldn't be going after other Christians like this. We shouldn't be doing that. I'm not going after Christians. I don't believe Bill and Eric Johnson are Christians. I don't believe those in Jesus culture are Christians. I don't believe it. No, I'm going after wolves in sheep's clothing. That's who I'm going after. And I'm really not fearful for the sheep, because the sheep are in God's hands, and while they can be deceived, they ultimately will not be taken out of the hands of Christ. I fear for the millions and millions and millions of goats who think they're sheep, because they sit under the teaching of these wolves in sheep clothing like Bill and Eric Johnson. More to come about this church and these men. My hope is that they will repent and come to genuine faith in Jesus Christ. I am called to love my enemies. So that is my hope for them. I do not want them to perish in their sin. I do not want them to go to hell. but they are indeed enemies of Jesus Christ, and they are enemies of his church.